So, and now Ian's going to come and speak to us. Thank you so much, Ian.
Thanks, Heather. So as you can see from the slide, the theme of the talk is about Nehemiah being tested, and that's what we're going to think a little bit about today, what testing times look for us and how what happens to us when we're tested and how we can gain support during those times. And of course, we all do face times of testing, don't we? I'm just very conscious at the moment that the news headlines for the last couple of days have been all about a lot about politics and about Keir Starmer. Jan just moved the she moved the laptop and it collapsed. That's another test. Interestingly, that one of the big tests that I used to face when I was working was IT. It's one of the biggest things that cause problems in our organization. But anyway, that's an aside. So Keir Starmer, Boris Johnson all have their particular tests coming up over the years to come. Some of you know that I'm a Liverpool supporter and they haven't done terribly well this year. And Jurgen Klopp is being tested at this particular moment that in terms of how he kind of moves on, having had such an incredible season last season. Overseas travel agents, given the news of a couple of days ago, another big test. Airlines, those of you who have faced bereavement, redundancy, work worries, worries about children, grandchildren, elderly relatives, all of those things are potential tests for each other. In other words, testing is part of life, isn't it? It's what we all experience day by day. Now, looking at Nehemiah, I find him a really, really interesting character and leader. For those of you who haven't been at the beginning of Nehemiah, I'll just go a quick review just to know so that you know who he is and why we're talking about him. He's a quite an interesting character and leader. It was a time in Jewish history when the Jews, after a period of being away from their land, they were in exile, were coming back to rebuild Jerusalem and the land which was theirs. And they were in the process of resettling around Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah was an interesting guy because he held quite a high position in the Persian court where the Jews were coming back from Persia, which is the sort of Iraq-Iran type area as it is now. And he went to the king and asked permission for the Jews to return for this rebuilding. And the king, if you recall from previous week, said yes. So work started, and we've already had a few talks around what was actually happening as the work was started. Now, what the Jews were facing was an interesting mix of opposition, both from their own people, as well as other people who weren't necessarily Jews, in that who were living locally. And it's essentially what was happening was their noses were put out of joint, and an essence of greed was coming through as well. And we have particular characters which we heard, I think it was a fortnight ago, Sanballat and Tobiah, who were a couple of people who were opposing what was happening. So what would happen is that those who'd become the kind of leaders in that dilapidated city of Jerusalem during the captivity and in the daily days of that return had used their power for their own benefit. And they required some of these Jews and some of the others as well, required the Jews who'd come back to buy back their possessions, which were previously owned by their families. That's what that reading was telling us this morning. And they were paying taxes and interest on things which they shouldn't have done. And of course, I won't go through the story again, you've heard it. And of course, Nehemiah stood up to that and said, no more. And it seemed that he was incredibly persuasive because the people who were meeting with him said, okay, we'll go along with that. And so in a sense, that problem was solved. A test was put his way. Nehemiah decided to stand firm and he did it in such a way that persuaded others. Now, as I think about a kind of how we apply that today, I often find it quite difficult, and maybe we all do, to draw parallels from someone who lived 2,500 years ago or thereabouts. And he lived in a different culture to us and occupied a role which many of us will not be familiar to us. And his tests included being knocked off course by those directly and indirectly opposing him. And maybe that is relevant to some of us because we can recognize being knocked off course, whether that's through our working lives or maybe in church life at times or in our individual lives. We've often got ideas and goals and directions we want to travel. And things happen, don't they? Something like a pandemic suddenly happens, which knocks us all totally off course. Blimey, what are we going to do with that? How are we going to deal with it? And I often wonder, was Nehemiah, he must have been human, because I'm sure in those early night hours, he lay awake thinking, have I done the right thing? This opposition is pretty significant. And I'm wondering, was he ever tempted to give up? I'm sure he was. And I'm sure many of us, when we've faced difficult times or testing times, the temptation is to throw in the towel, I think. Some of us do and say that's sometimes what happens. But quite a number of us just say, okay, let's work this one out. Now, I'm going to ask a question now, and it's a question which I would really like you to respond to. So you could unmute yourselves and just give some of your thoughts. It's a fairly simple question, I think, but when you think of your own times of testing, whatever they might be, and whether that's for you as an individual or St. James as a church community, because Jen and I have only been with you fairly recently. Many of you have been here over the years, many, many years, I know. So when you think of those times of testing, what has helped you carry on through them? What are those things that have helped you to keep going? So that's the question. If anyone wants to unmute and just say what for you has helped you, that would be really good.
Talking to friends.
Thanks, Kathy. So talking to friends, talking to others, friends particularly. Anybody else?
Family.
Yeah, interesting. Family has really helped to bring you through stuff. Thanks, Helen.
Also, work colleagues.
That's interesting, Sylvia. Yeah, because they can be, we spend, don't we, those of you who, I speak now as somebody who's no longer working, but still kind of trying to get my head around that, but you spend such a lot of time with work colleagues during the day.
Yeah. Determination that not to let your children down. You might let yourself down, but you can't afford to let your children down.
Yeah, so there's something about that, isn't it? Putting others before yourself, your children before yourself. Thanks, Bruce. Sylvia,
a sense of responsibility.
A sense of responsibility.
As Bruce is saying, responsibility to others, really.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, thanks. Thank you. Thanks, Rosemary. Sylvia, did you want to add something?
Yeah, for me, when we were going through a patch of church when we didn't have a vicar, the sense of our congregation being together and the PCC pulling together. And what really, really helped me is going to a pastoral, and I know I go over this all the time, is attending the pastoral care at St. Andrew's Church when five of us went there. And do you know what? We came back feeling if we can do anything, we can pull through this all together as a church and as a congregation. And that really set us up for going forward, I thought.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sylvia. That's really, really helpful as well, isn't it? Just the sorts of things that help us to pull through during times of testing. And they'll be very different for everybody else. Is there any final one before I move on? Very happy for you to say.
I would consult with my brother quite a bit. He's much older than me, and I found that very helpful. But I think lovely what Sylvia's just said.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul. So thank you for those. Oh, Janet, you've just unmuted. Oh, no.
I'll keep my, I've got mine on the bar. Yes, I would definitely say about family and just the whole family, obviously Helen and hers, my sister, who I talk to for hours, most days. So Kenzel was saying, what do you talk about? It's just life. But I think, you know, talking to people just helps everybody, really.
Yeah.
I think there's a sense of not being alone. All those things that have been mentioned reduces isolation, doesn't it? It means that we're not facing it on our own. It feels like we're supported by others.
Thank you. Anybody else unmuted? Oh.
Yeah. Thank you, Joshua. I was just thinking about time as well. Sometimes when you sort of think about things in that specific moment or like a what feels like a crisis moment, all your emotions are everywhere, but then giving it a bit of time and then sort of thinking it through again, it can give a bit of different perspective.
3 minutes. Absolutely right. Yeah, all these things are incredible, aren't they? And interestingly, I better get on because time is going by now. But I'd written just in case nobody said anything, some answers that I thought you might give, but then I knew you would respond. But things like other people was my first one, and whether that's family, friends or whatever. But I think that thing about time is really important, isn't it? I remember during my working days, talking about early hours in the morning, the stuff that was going around my head at that point. And actually, when I then fell asleep and woke up in the morning, I thought, why did I spend so much time thinking about that? Why did I put so much energy into it? But there are all kinds of different things. People who are good listeners, worship, actually, for some people, can be a great help during times of testing. Just going out for a walk and nature, etc. I mentioned before that I have now retired, and I retired on Thursday. And a question, I had a leaving do, a Zoom leaving do. And one of the questions that somebody asked me at that leaving do was an interesting one. They asked them, what was my most powerful life lesson that I could pass on? And I thought that was a really, really interesting question. And I didn't find it easy, to actually be honest, to answer. But I came down to two things, really. One was staying curious, but also embracing what life brings, because it brings all kinds of different things, and it's not always wonderful. It can be difficult as well. But throughout what life brings, staying curious and being open to whatever is around. Who would have thought, as we just mentioned 15 months ago, that our lives would have been turned upside down in such a radical way? And it has been a very mixed experience, and it hasn't always been negative, what we've been experiencing. And I think, as I think back over those 15 months, what's kept me going is adapting, is connecting to others in different ways, and a recognition that there is someone much greater than me, or a politician or whatever, who's holding me and our world, that is God. So it's just that sense that despite what's happening, I've used this phrase verse before, but underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, despite what is happening. So as we all move into what is going to be called this new normal, whatever that looks like, we won't be returning to where we were 15 months ago. So much water has passed under that bridge, hasn't it, as we think about it. And we're moving into something that is different. The world and people, friends, family, church communities have moved on. And it will have implications about how we live our lives, how we travel, how we do church, and so on. Lots of things will be affected. And so what I'd like to finish with and encourage all of us to do, and as I hope I will do as well, is as we do move on, we've been tested, we'll continue to be tested, but as we embrace whatever is before us, Can I encourage you, and as I encourage myself, to be open, to be generous to each other, but to hold fast to the hope that we actually have that is set before us. So be open, be generous, and embrace whatever comes before us. Because if we do that, then I think we can get through this, whatever tests that come our way. Thank you and amen.